to Len Newman, Reel 2. I'd like now to ask how you, when you came to be called up or join the forces, had you thought of volunteering?
I volunteered to join the Fleet Air Arm in 1941, aircrew. But I failed the medical because of my eyesight. So, in April 1942, I was called up into the Army, into the Royal Armoured Corps.
Now, how come the Royal Armoured Corps? Was that any element of choice of you, or was that
no
just
choice whatever? Just shoved in it. No choice whatever. Just put straight into it. And I joined the Army on the 23rd of April 1942 at Warminster.
That was Warminster Camp?
Yep.
And how did they take you into the Army? It sounds that, but how did they you arrived as a civilian, and a couple of days later you're a trainee recruit.
It was funny, actually. Some people turned up in their Home Guard uniforms. I didn't, because I knew if I joined in my Home Guard uniform, that's one I'd be keeping instead of getting the new one. And I had to have my Home Guard one for over a year, so... So I went in civvies. The first day was spent in getting issued with blankets, uniforms, boots, having your hair cut twice. Literally having your hair cut twice.
And what was the cut like?
Short. Short.
Very short.
Yes, but not too bad. Not really. Not like the crew cuts you get now. About an inch all over. So and we actually started training the second day we were there.
What? I'll come back to that. What sort of accommodation were you put in?
We were in the Horblisher barracks.
Can you describe what they looked like, if you can? Yeah.
They were fairly new barrack blocks, built about in 1937-38. And each rooms with a corporal's room at the end, and each room containing about 20 beds.
And they were actually barracks, not huts?
They were barracks.
And what were the beds like?
They were bunks, two level bunks, with mattresses, blankets, no pillows, no sheets, blankets.
And anywhere to put your stuff?
Covered, you know, one covers between the blocks of. Between lots of bunks.
And what about your fellow recruits? I mean, what was your first impression of them? Were they the same sort of lad as yourself, or different classes? Or
we had all sorts. We literally had all sorts there. We had 96 of us caught up and came into training on that one day, and we were split into two groups of 40-something. And one group was Welsh. All of them were Wales, came from Wales. Some of them knew each other, some of them were friends, they came in together. But one lad in particular, he spoke no English at all. He only spoke Welsh. It took him a long time to settle down, but by God, he was a good lad when he got settled in and managed to learn English. The rest of us, the English half, we came from all over.
All over the country?
All over the country.
But what about class background? I mean,
all sorts again. I was a grammar school boy. The bloke on the bunk above me was Marlborough. He went to Marlborough. The bloke in the bed next door to me, you know, on the other side, was a Geordie elementary school boy who'd been working in Enfields.
And how did you sort of meld together? I mean, was there trouble between you?
No trouble whatever. Strange, really, there was no trouble whatever. We got on very well. Because, face it, we were all strangers. We were all on the defensive. We were all looking out for each other, you know.
Were you shocked by things like some of the rougher types might have sworn a lot? I mean, things like that. Did that bother you, or were you used to swearing?
If you work in a factory, you hear it. No. The mere fact that you don't swear a lot yourself doesn't mean that you don't have to. You take a lot of notice of it.
So. Looking at perhaps the best way of going on is to look at a typical day and then pick things off as we go through it. What time would the day start and how would it start?
6 o'clock in the valley. No, 6:30 in the valley. And you get up and you do some form of PE and run or something like that, and then you'd have breakfast about 7:30 past.
I mean, were you already fit when you went in, or were you struggling with the PT early on?
You're struggling. I mean, we did come from different backgrounds, and so, yes, we had different levels of fitness. And some people were really struggling with PE. But...
You were in the middle, were you?
I think so. I was nothing particularly strange about me in any way. Don't think. I was about average. But... Although it may not seem so at the time, I think the army were pretty considerate, in as much as they didn't let people go. They led people along at the rate which suited that person. I hope they did it. I mean, I didn't realise it at the time. It was well afterwards that I realised how well we'd been led along. But they did it so that people got to that peak of fitness all at the same time. But they took it easily, you know.
Now, you said after PT might be breakfast. Looking at all the food, not just breakfast, but what sort of, how did the food compare with what you were used to at home?
It wasn't as well cooked, obviously. There was a lot more of it. Because rationing was in Civvy Street, and rationing, there was no such thing as rationing in the army. So although it may not be as good food as you would like at home, it may not be as cooked as you would have liked it. There was plenty of it, and it was reasonably well balanced diet. One or two people moaned about it. One or two people thought it was marvellous.
What would you get for sort of breakfast and lunch, tea, dinner, tea? What, you know?
You didn't. Those days, you didn't get a lot of choice. It was there. But breakfast was always hot. There was always something. Porridge. There was always porridge. My God, it was horrible. There was always porridge. And it all depended where you came from, how you liked your porridge, whether you liked it sweet or with salt. Later on, when I went in 5 and 4 for Yemen, you had it with salt. But then there would be some mornings bacon, sausages, never eggs, not proper eggs, egg powder, scrambled egg, you know. There was always something hot, there was always bread, toast. And there was always plenty of tea.
What about army tea? Was that how you used to it?
Well, one bucket was sweetened and the other bucket wasn't. Apart from that, it looked exactly the same. Dark brown. But we managed. Yeah, it was all right.
And what about dinner? Would that be another hot meal?
Oh, yes.
We used to have stews and things. So.
Sometimes it... No. There's a lot of rubbish talked about army food, and I think a lot depended where you were. The army coaching corps had been introduced by the time I went in, and so you weren't using the ordinary regimental cooks. And the coaching corps was a lot better. They had been taught to cook instead of just picking up as they went along. And there was always, meals were always hot. Sometimes it was roast, it was joints, you know, meat. Sometimes it was mince or stew. But there was always a hot meal. I think vegetarians had it a bit rough. But there was always a meal, there was always plenty of it.
And tea? Afternoon tea, I mean, sorry.
Usually. Sandwiches, cheese, cake, something like that.
So okay.
Yeah, not bad. No, the food wasn't bad, you know.
Did you have any trouble eating it at first, with it not being cooked as well, and then get used to it, or did you just get on with it?
No, I just got on with it. No, but food, I've always been lucky with food, I've always eaten what's there.
Now, after breakfast then, we go back to the day, the sort of, if we look at the rest of the training sessions, I mean, perhaps starting with drill, ordinary foot drill, how did you get on with foot drill?
I wasn't too bad because I'd have my own guard, and so I knew a fair amount about it.
Was it any different?
Not really. Not really, because gotta face it, the people who have been drilling us in the home guard had been doing exactly the same job in the First World War. And so, yes, although they may form threes instead of forming fours, the drill was basically the same. And we, in the home guard, we were coping with it. The people from the home guard coped with it better than the people who'd never done it. But when we first went into the army, we did 6 weeks basic training. And I think a lot of people have had the wrong idea about how we did that. When we first went in, the first thing I did was to make us soldiers. And so it wasn't a case of you spend the morning doing drill. For the first week, you did nothing but drill. So in the morning and in the afternoon, you were drilling all day because they wanted you to act as soldiers. And even if we hadn't gone into the tanks, at the end of the first week, we could have gone into the infantry, and apart from not being able to fire a rifle so well, we would have fitted straight into an infantry regiment.
Did you understand the point of drill yourself then? I mean, you might do now, but did you at the time, or did you find a week of solid drill?
I found a week of solid drill awkward.
That was
partly because I had done it in the home guard. But when we went into the army, each of the squads were given a sergeant in charge. And I think a lot depended on that sergeant and how well he explained what you were doing. We were extremely lucky. I was extremely lucky. I had a sergeant who, although he was a real regular, had been in the army for donkey's years, was still human. And he treated us off parade as human beings. And he explained to us why we were doing it. We weren't just, because of him, we weren't just doing it because we were told to. He told us the reason for doing it. And so that we would do what we were told automatically without querying things. You know, we were lucky. I was lucky in that respect.
So, that drill. Now, I mean, you said your first week. So that was solid drill. But looking at, then moving on a bit, other training sessions, I mean, would you then be trained, get weapons drill again, which you'd had to some extent with other weapons with the home guard, but I mean, would you go through a simple weapons course?
Oh, yes. Because that was part of the... In drill, you're taught to handle a rifle in as much as you sloped arms, shouldered up, you know, sloped arms, presented arms and everything like that. You're used to handling a rifle. At the end of the first week, we were taught how to fire a rifle. Once again, some of us had already done it, others hadn't. But once again, we went down to the ranges, and we started banging away with the Lee Enfield.
Now, how did you... You'd use the Ross. And yeah. How did you find the Lee Enfield compared to the Ross?
Not as accurate. Nowhere near as accurate. Quicker, more rapid firing. Different sight.
Which did you prefer then?
I preferred the Ross.
Even though it was slower to fire?
Yes, I much prefer it because I like that Ross. Um, As you know, the accuracy of a rifle depends on two things. First of all, the bloke who's using it. And secondly, the distance between sights. The longer the distance between the sights, the more chance there is of being accurate. Rather, the less chance there is of it wavering off target. With the Lee Enfield, the rear sight was in front of the bolt, and the front sight was at the, obviously, at the front of the barrel. With the Ross, the barrel was 4 inches longer, and the front sight was still at the back, and the rear sight, which was an upright leaf sight, was right on the edge of a bolt, which meant you had about 5 inches extra length of barrel, which made it that more accurate.
And what about to fire the Lee Enfield?
No difference between firing any rifle, I don't think. Not really.
Did you mind?
There is with the automatic with no recoil, but with the ordinary rifle, no difference.
Did you mind the kick?
No. It's very difficult for one or two left-handed people. Because you have to fire, really, you have to fire it right-handed. Otherwise you get slapped in the face with every discharge round. But it's very difficult for some of those, but I'm right-handed, so no problem for me.
What about now other weapons? Again, the Bren, would that be the...
No, obviously not. Oddly enough, no, Bren. Remember, we were tanks. So we did the first week basic training, then we did... started specialised training. We learned to drive.
So the only infantry, the only weapon you got introduced to was...
In that first couple of weeks, was the rifle.
That's all.
But then, as I said, we went on to specialised training.
Okay.
Tank training. We were learnt to drive, we learnt about tank weapons, we learnt about radio.
What about learning to drive? I mean, would you start with a truck or a lorry? Or
a 5-ton truck. We went out to take 5 or 6 people out on the back of a truck with the instructor, and you'd have half an hour each. And at the end of the half hour, you had the basics of driving. And at the end of a week, you could all drive. Some better than others, but all well enough to drive the 5-ton truck. Five-handed truck off the road. Not because we weren't driving on the highways. We were driving around the camp, on the camp roads, and across the fields. At the end of a week, during our driving period, we would go out of the camp and drive round the neighbourhood.
And no trouble with the double declutching.
No trouble at all, because that was the way we all. That's the way we were taught.
You didn't know any other way?
We didn't know other way. All gearboxes were crash gearboxes. Except on vehicles which we, at that time, had not run up against. One tank had epicyclic gearing, and a couple of the armoured cars had preceptor gearing.
Well.
But at that time, everything we were on were crash boxes.
Now, and then the next thing... came just before was you went on to Bren carriers. Now, what about learning to drive the Bren carrier?
It's different because we didn't have the same propulsion system. We had tracks on a carrier, not wheels. And it was a good introduction to track vehicles. The way we judged whether we were any good on it. Bren gun carrier was take it up a slope, and when we got up the slope, take your foot off the accelerator so it dropped down gently. If you went too hard, you came down with a hell of a wallop. If you took the foot off the accelerator too soon, you ran backwards. And it's just getting up there and judging it just the right moment to do it, so you went down gently. And once again, you spent a bit more time on that.
Now, steering isn't the same, is it, as a lorry or anything? Were they still steering by changing the...
Wheel.
It is a wheel, isn't it?
It's still a wheel in those days. There were a few carriers with sticks, like a tank, But then it was on most of them, it was steel or wheel.
I've so got that wrong, then, don't you? So it wasn't that difficult to learn.
No, but it's a good way of moving from an ordinary wheel vehicle to a track vehicle.
So what was the next stage?
Well, in driving.
At that time. That was as far as you went.
Weeks. You learnt to. You went a truck, and then to a carrier. That, remember, we were doing 6 weeks basic training. Then.
You mentioned two other things that
gunnery, radio.
Well, gunnery.
So during the morning, we would probably do driving. In the afternoon, one afternoon, we would do wireless work, Morse code. I was useless at it. I was never slightly bit interested in it. And I was absolutely useless. I knew I was never going to be a radio operator. Morse code was an unexplained mystery to me. It's like foreign languages. I could never cope with it. But that would, for people who were any good at it, that would continue throughout the 6 weeks. So we'd spend a bit driving, a bit on radio work, and then a bit on gunnery.
Gunnery, what gun were you introduced to?
The 2-pounder tank gun.
What make was it?
God knows. 2-pounder tank gun. That's all I knew about it. A waste of time. It wouldn't touch anything. I don't think it would go through the side of a car door.
But how did you actually fire it then?
We had mock-ups. We had a turret with a 2-2 air gun barrel on the top of a 2-pounder barrel, and you'd learn to use that using the shoulder belts and the guidance system and everything like that, because it would be mounted on gyroscope so that the turret was moving and you'd have to make the compensation.
How did you do that? Sorry, I'm not very familiar with the 2-pounder.
Any other gun, actually, because we did it with 6-pounder, the 17-pounder, and the 77mm. We did it with all of them. Exactly the same. You know, you just compensated. That was something I could do. I mean, I'm not boasting, although I never was a tank gunner, I was a bloody good tank gunner. Although I never served as a tank gunner, I was good on the tank gun.
What was it like to fire? I mean, was it a big crack?
Don't know, because we never actually fired it. We only had this little...
So you're only practicing tracking?
Yeah. But it was, we were doing basic training. We were learning the principles. We did the Bren gun. Then we learnt the principles of Bren gun. And we learnt the...
Browning?
Yes, that's where we came. The Vickers and the gunnery instructor said, and of course with the with the new tanks coming in, we have the Browning machine gun. I'm afraid I know absolutely nothing about them yet, because I am not in service yet. We have one, but we don't know anything about it. And Newman, like a bloody idiot, forgetting you never volunteer for anything, said, I can tell you about that. And he looked at me and said, Evie, how do you know? And I said, because I've been using one for 2 years. He said, we haven't just been introduced. I said, I've been using a water cooled. And I think it's the same, it looked it. And I stripped it down for him and showed him how to work the bloody thing. So, and he said, I won't tell you what he said. And that afternoon I was whipped off the wireless training which I was supposed to be on. And I was confronted with a group of 20 gunnery instructors to teach them Vapor Browning machine gun.
What did you think of the Browning?
Lovely gun. I liked the Browning.
In what way? What was good? What was better than, say, the Bren or the Vickers?
as I said, I was introduced to English Home Guard. And I've not only got the water cooled, I have a branding automatic rifle, which although it was heavy, was extremely long-barreled and extremely accurate. And because I was used to them, I liked them. For the same reason I liked Ross, because I was used to it. I liked it. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a damn good gun. But I wasn't a tank. I never became a tank gunner.
Any reason? I mean, will that come in the story, or is there a reason now? No.
It's just the way things went.
Right. We'll follow it through then as it happens. So any other parts training? I mean, was there any training in the sort of fitting end of things in tank maintenance or in engine maintenance?
Not at that time. We were doing our 6 weeks basic training, and that was all. It was with 6 weeks training. Everybody who went into the army did the 6 weeks basic training, except for we, going into the tank corps, did a certain amount of work which suited the tank service rather than the infantry who did other things. But we all did a basic 6 weeks training, and then we had a week's leave.
Anything else about your training that you remember from that 6 weeks?
No, not really. I mean, it just...
So
that was it.
So you trained during...
Drill, driving, wireless, gunnery.
Now, when you finished, you'd have your sessions during the day. What about in the evening? What was
pretty well, really. There's nothing much to do because for the first 2 weeks, you weren't laid off camp. So there was nothing.
What was the canteen, nappy like? What did it offer you?
Team cakes.
It was not a wet one.
Yes, of course it did, but we didn't drink. You people ours just didn't drink, you know, not a lot. It was there if we wanted it, but we didn't. But we weren't allowed home. And there was always an entertainment of some sort. Somebody played the piano, or as bingo, or there was hazy, not bingo.
Did you like the nappy, or was it a bit...
It was there. That was it, you know. Remember, in those days, before we went in the army, we'd had no... The only entertainment was the pictures. There was no television. I mean, so if you went anywhere, you went to a dance or you went to the pictures. You went in the army and you have a naffy. There was also a camp cinema. So you did exactly the same thing. You went to pictures. That's it. It's no different in that respect.
Now, what about another thing you might do? Preparing for kit inspections and generally ball and things like that. How
that's part of the drill. That came in the drill section. You were taught to do that as part of your drill. Yeah.
And how did you take to that?
Once again, we were lucky because of this sergeant I told you about, who explained the reason for these things. I mean, most of us thought it was just bull. Really, we thought it was just bull.
How did you prepare for a kit inspection?
First of all, the first two blankets were folded up. I can't tell you the size of them. Don't remember. On top of each other. Third blanket rained. Must be squared off. God knows why it had to be squared off. But it had to be squared off. Boots laid in front. Can't remember it. It was blankets, tin hat, and greatcoat underneath that, on top. Greatcoat on top of the blankets, tin hat on top of that. Spare boots in front of that. Rolled up socks behind that. Spare shirts on each side, and it had to be laid out in particular order. Could never understand why it had to be ordered, but that's what you had to do, so you did it.
And someone had come and inspected.
Yeah.
Was it an officer or your sergeant?
First of all, your sergeant gave you a right rollicking if it didn't suit him, and then the officer would come along and do it. It'd only be once a week, that was all.